This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. How do you witness to others about your faith in Jesus Christ? Does the matter come up in your conversations, or would you prefer to let your good deeds be your testimony? Some people would say, faith is a private matter, none of my business. In this week's message, we are reminded that Jesus wants us to talk to others about Him. Let's listen and learn how to share our faith in Christ.
I want to spend a few minutes with you today looking at the most important thing you can do with your life as a follower of Jesus. So stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for what you've done for us. Through Jesus Christ's suffering and death and resurrection, we would be so lost without Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of having a personal relationship with you through Christ. And now we ask through the power of your word that you would help us to grow in that relationship and serve you faithfully in this world. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. These are some of the last words of Jesus to his disciples 40 days after his resurrection. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus replied, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here ends our reading. Dear friends, I have a personal question to those of you who believe in Jesus. How did you come to believe in Christ? In all likelihood, someone told you about him. Your parents or grandparents, your spouse, a friend, a college roommate, maybe a pastor. Someone took the time and trouble to tell you about Jesus and what he has done for you. And then you came to believe. The reason I ask this question is, I'm concerned that we in the church spend so much time talking about a personal relationship with Christ that we sometimes fail to emphasize that there is a public side to our faith, that we're called to go public for Jesus Christ and talk about Him with others who don't know Him yet. When that kind of talk about witnessing comes up in the church, it can sometimes raise people's blood pressure a bit. As they respond, witness? Me? Why in the world would I want to do that? There are a variety of reasons that cause people to balk at this idea of sharing their faith. It might be something like this. People's faith or lack of is no business of mine. I don't want to be a meddler, someone might say. Or I've heard also someone say, I don't want to come off judgmental or intolerant, and I surely don't want to offend anyone or lose a friendship. Others have said, witnessing doesn't work anymore in this day and age. It's a sad statement. It means that there's a loss of faith in the power of the gospel. Others might say, well, it's not my spiritual gift. I'm not a Billy Graham type. Someone else might respond, I've heard this one, I'm so busy, I can barely keep my own act together. Or I get so distracted with my own life, I don't really think about it when I'm with other people. And then others fall back on this one. I think I can just live out my faith and hope that someone sees the difference and maybe they'll ask about it, which is silly. Good deeds are never a bad thing, but don't try to convince me that cutting someone's grass or being nice to them is witnessing or evangelism. Francis Chan, who I greatly admire, a pastor in California, writes, I think one of the biggest problems in the church is that no one feels like it's their job. I hear pastors say, well, it's not really my job to go out and share my faith with people. I'm really supposed to equip my people to do that. And the people say, well, I'm not the preacher, and I don't like to preach to anyone. So I just try to show them by living a nice life. The bottom line is, today, no one is really getting the gospel out. And the truth is, it's everyone's job. So we hear in our text for today, to those who wonder, why witness? Here we find the main reason. As Jesus, the risen Lord, standing before his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth given to him, says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. What is a witness? A witness is one who tells the truth of what he or she has experienced or observed. We're called to talk about Jesus and what we know about him and what he's done for us and who he is and what he's meant for our own life. The word that's used for witness, actually from it comes the word martyr, which means it's very high commitment stuff that Jesus is calling us to. And notice who these words are coming from. These words are a commission from the risen Lord who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So it's a matter of obedience to Jesus to witness. It's a display of our loyalty to him. That commission has never changed, and it never will, until Jesus reappears on the last day. But until then, every believer in Jesus Christ has a personal responsibility to be a missionary right where you are. A spokesperson, a witness for Christ, telling the good news of Jesus, who he is and what he has done, doing everything in your power, maybe by starting by being interested in people and building relationships, but eventually getting to that story about Jesus Christ. You're called to make an impact on the lives of those around you. I came across this little quote one time. It says, the danger for any maturing disciple is that of becoming a thermometer instead of a thermostat. Immature believers reflect the temperature of the world around them, but disciples of Jesus Christ set it. We're called to impact our world through witnessing for Christ. So the best reason for witnessing, it's scriptural. It's a matter of obedience to the risen Lord. And it's a response of loving action for the one who laid down his life to save me, Jesus. But there's even more than our love and commitment to Jesus. It's also a matter of our love for people. The ones in your life that God has placed around you, and the ones that need you to be in their life that maybe you haven't met yet. Everybody needs the forgiveness and grace of God in their lives. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Scripture tells us. And Scripture also goes on to say, and how are these people to believe and be saved from their sin without hearing? Who's going to tell them if we don't? Jesus wants, according to this little passage today in Acts, everyone in on that salvation plan of his. Notice his words again. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. These are all kinds of people, Jewish and non-Jewish. He loves them all. He died and rose for them all. And our attitude as followers of Jesus Christ is to be, I don't want anyone to miss out on meeting Jesus and the great life he wants each one of us to have. Abundant life, eternal life. I don't want anyone to experience a Christless eternity. To witness is to be so loving towards people and so honestly convinced that to have Christ into one's life is trading up, that you'll do anything to connect Jesus and this individual that's in your life. Because you so believe that their life would be so much better with Christ. Dr. Gilbert Bilzekian once shared this statement that Bill Hybels talks of in one of his books. He says, "True followers of Christ who really get it right give themselves to people. Most importantly, they give themselves to pointing people to faith in Christ. That's the highest and best use of a human life, to have it serve as a signpost that points people to God." And finally, why witness? It's where the power and the joy of following Jesus Christ is best experienced. Out on the front line, bringing others to Christ through your efforts. It's the most important thing you can do with your life. And the most exciting thing, to lead someone across the line, to share that story, to step out in faith in Jesus and tell it. Most of us want our lives to count for something. Well, here's a way of making it count for something. Make it count for Jesus Christ and his cause. Be a witness. It's the most meaningful thing you can do with your life, is to bring someone to the Lord. Now, if you're thinking, well, okay, Scripture says it, but I don't know if I can do that, you're not alone. Those disciples hearing Jesus must have thought the same exact thing. But in these words of Jesus, we also see some very good news, that you and I are not on our own. He gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, "You will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That word power is a Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Man, that's powerful stuff. It turns out that the Holy Spirit has been given to empower our witness for Christ. That's the purpose of the Spirit. Jesus described his work in John's Gospel. The Holy Spirit will empower us, and as we tell the gospel story, he'll show the world that needs Christ. So you're not on your own, you see, when you open your mouth and tell the story of Jesus or share your personal testimony of what he's done in your life. We see that again and again as we look through the rest of the book of Acts then. First Pentecost Day, and Peter tells the story of Jesus, and there's all these conversions, and there's Philip being led by the Holy Spirit out onto the road where he meets the Ethiopian eunuch, and that man comes to know Christ, and there's Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail of all places, sharing the gospel with a jailer who has his whole family then baptized. And listen to Paul to the believers in Thessalonica. He says, "Our gospel came to you, you believers, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." You see, you're not on your own. I've had that experience myself, not just in preaching, but in my personal witnessing. I remember evangelism explosion training years ago down at a Missionary Alliance church in Omaha, Nebraska. And they teach you the gospel outline, and you learn how to share it and be comfortable with it. And then they take you out, and you knock on doors and have the opportunity to get comfortable telling the story to people. One night, a group came back that was on another team, and they were so just on fire and excited. And the man related the story. He said, "When I got in there, and the person let me in, and I started to share the gospel, and I just plain forgot that outline. But," he said, I remembered some of the main points." He said, "And of all things, the Holy Spirit used that, and this person asked Christ into their life. I can't believe it," he said. And the place just erupted with applause for the Holy Spirit. You see, as you read the book of Acts, you'll find that those disciples did turn their world upside down for the cause of Christ. They reached Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth, just as Jesus said they would. And it wasn't on their own power. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And their stories then are saved to testify to you and me that you can do this. You could have an impact on your world for Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit as you tell that story. It has the power to actually awaken a person and change that individual's life. I suppose the question we need to answer, though, is, okay, I'm called to do this. I can do this by the working of the Holy Spirit. How do I get going on this? What's the strategy? I'll just briefly share a little strategy that can, I believe, work for everyone who does it. First of all, make a list of the people in your life network. Perhaps you don't know where they stand with the Lord. Maybe they've strayed. Who are the people in your Jerusalem, your home, family relationships? Might be one of your children or an aunt or an uncle. Someone that you have contact with, that's a relative. And then who's your Judea? That's outside of your home. Could be friendships, work relationships, social relationships, sports relationships. Write those down. Who's your Samaria? That could be some individual in the same city or area which you live, relationally distant to you. It might be the person who cuts your hair, the person at the checkout at the grocery store that you've gotten to know, might be a neighbor down the street. And then the ends of the earth. Those are the places that are outside of your everyday routine. Might be a nursing home with some people that need some attention, or a school where you volunteer, or a prison down the road that offers opportunities to come in and do volunteer work. Make contact with non-believers, the ends of the earth. In each of these categories, so you've got your list. Now pray. Pray for these individuals. I totally believe in the power of prayer to open doors. Billy Graham has said, as he describes the success behind his crusades, he says three words: pray, pray, pray. Pray for these individuals, that the Lord would bless them and through the working of the Spirit work ahead of you to open that door to share the hope that is in you in Christ. And pray for yourself to see the open door, to be a good listener, to love that individual no matter what, and share with them when the door opens in a natural conversational way the difference Christ can make in their life. And of course, finally, get yourself prepared. Scripture says, always be ready to make a defense for the hope that is within you. Have you written a testimony? There's an assignment. Write in 100 words or less your story of the difference Jesus has made in your life. It's got to be short. Practice it and practice and practice telling it aloud. Use it on a fellow believer, a spouse, or a friend until you've got it down and can tell it naturally. And then, of course, most importantly of all, learn to tell Christ's story and what he has done for the world and who he is. It's really quite simple, but we need to get it down. That, number one, you're created for a relationship with God. Number two, you can't have one on your own. You're a sinner. You're separated from God. But God loves you so much. Number three, he gave Jesus Christ, and this is what he did for you. He died on a cross, and he paid for your sins, and he rose again and offers you a gift of eternal life, which you receive, number four, through faith. And faith is simply trusting in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. There you have it. One last story that applies to our message for today. A while back, the Mercedes-Benz company had a television commercial which showed a Mercedes-Benz automobile colliding with a cement wall. The commercial was demonstrating the energy-absorbing car body that all Mercedes automobiles have. In the commercial, a company spokesman was asked why the company did not patent the car body design to prevent it from being copied by other automobile companies. And the company spokesman said, because some things in life are too important not to share. How true that is as we consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. So enough talk about this. Let's go and share Christ this week with the people around us. Why? Because someone's eternity is depending on your faithfulness, and most importantly of all, because Jesus Christ is counting on you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the high calling you've placed upon those of us who trust Christ, witnesses. Help us to love the people around us enough to tell them about the Savior who laid down his life for them. We do understand that you are counting on us and that you have graced us with your Holy Spirit and given us power from on high. So, Lord, we stand ready to obey and tell the story of Jesus. Keep us ever alert and ready to confidently and naturally tell others of the great gift you have offered through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has inspired you to boldly and fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, as we should. If you have enjoyed today's program and would like to share it with a friend or hear it again yourself, we invite you to check out our website. Visitors to ChristianCrusaders.org can find both the audio and printed version of today's message, as well as find other useful tools for their spiritual need. Again, that's www.ChristianCrusaders.org. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. If you would like to receive a copy of today's program on CD or in print, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or visit our website at www.christiancrusaders.org. Gifts of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs are always appreciated. We're happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting the service was our speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.